Thank you, Jerry and Joe. We will talk to you two tomorrow night as the Blue Jays try to start off the month of August with a win. It would be their seventh straight. Update from Baltimore. Hector Santiago just struck out Jonathan Scope with the bases loaded to end the 12th. They're off to the 13th. Nothing. Baltimore and LA of A. If the Angels can win this game and avoid the sweep, the Blue Jays would close to within a game and a half of first place in the American League East. The Jays are now 3.5 up on the Yankees and Mariners, neither of which team is playing tonight for that second wild card in the American League. I lied. Mariners won. So they're 3.5 up on both the Yankees and Mariners. Yankees were off. And they're 3 up on the Mariners. Now everything's right. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Big deadline day in the major leagues of baseball. The Oakland A's pick up John Lester. The Detroit Tigers pick up David Price. The Blue Jays make no moves. But Nolan Reimold and Danny Valencia, who were acquired earlier this month, combined to go 4-for-8 with a couple of home runs, both by Reimold, 3 runs scored to help the Blue Jays to the 6-5 win over the Houston Astros. Let's get to your phone calls. Nick is in Toronto listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You're going to lead things off on Blue Jays Talk. Go right ahead.
So, Mike, I want to talk about Alex Anthopoulos tonight. I really think that it was fine sticking with the team we got, because that, you know, our starting three pitchers for next year are going to be 23, 22 years old, Sanchez and those guys. And then we have Dickey and Brayley next year locked up. So why are everybody worried about our team next, I mean, this year and next year?
Nobody's worried about next year. Nobody cares about next year.
You and I. But there's haters out there that worry and hate and say, why didn't we make a big deal? Like Jose said tonight.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the 2015 Blue Jays. Right, they wanted a deal to help the 2014 team, which is within a hair's breadth of first place right now in the division. And I don't think there was a huge deal for the Jays to make. And I don't think, you know, you break the bank to add a Martin Prado or an Asdrubal Cabrera or a Steven Drew. So I'm fine with them not having made a move. I don't think that there was a reliever who was traded today who the Blue Jays would have been in on and really would have helped them.
I would have liked Andrew Miller. I'm not going to lie. I love his curveball. It was great versus us. Maybe that's just me watching him for 3 games.
I would have liked Andrew Miller too, but I'm not going to trade Daniel Norris for him.
Yeah, I agree with that. Why would you give up Stroman or Sanchez? They're too good. Because what we did was we took our AAA from this year and brought up to the big leagues. We needed it. Is that agree?
Well, no. They brought up a couple of their young players from AAA, to help them out, and a lot of guys who they didn't anticipate really using from AAA because they got hurt.
We traded the other one for Dickey and Burley.
They traded Syndergaard.
And
Nicolino, in those trades. Yes, it's true.
So, but I think going forward, why would we want to trade our core team? We have Rays next year.
But I don't think anyone's upset about the Blue Jays not trading away from their core.
Well, did you watch Sportsnet tonight? At 6 o'clock, I don't know who that guy was, but he was written on the conflict of the Jays, deal.
I don't know. I didn't. I was busy on prime time.
I didn't? Sorry.
Tonight. So,
well, you know what? I just hope the Jays continue to win. I love your show, and thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks for the call. And again, I don't begrudge anybody who believes that the Blue Jays should have made a trade today. But I don't think that there's anybody who's going to call in to this program and say they need to trade Aaron Sanchez or Marcus Stroman. I think it was more those the Prado deal, the Cabrera deal, the Drew trade that got people thinking the Blue Jays could have done something like that. Honestly, I don't think any of those three guys are significant improvement on what they already have. Blue Jays beat the Astros 6-5 today. Jay is in Toronto. You're up next on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, my comment was just, you know, I think it's easy to sort of explain away the casual fan that calls up and says, well, you know, I'm upset that we didn't make a trade, and you can come up with things like, well, there's still August, or, well, you know, you don't want to trade Stroman. But I think it's pretty telling when you've got you know, franchise players, Bautista, but particularly Casey Jansen, you know, his comments today. I think you've really got to look at that. These are guys that have been in and around baseball their whole lives. Jansen's been on this team a very long time. And for him to come out and make the comments he did, you know, I think it's a little bit damning to the management. I there's people knocking him, saying that, you know, the players are spoiled or this or that, or they're still going to play. But I really think he's spot on with his comments.
I think he's frustrated, and I think he thinks that the team could use some help. But again, it's his job to play, not to be a general manager. And there aren't a lot of ex-players who wind up being GMs. And look, if you're in uniform and you're going out there and you're busting your hump every day, you want your management to surround you with all-stars, because that's, you know, that's what you want. And you should want that. You should want the team to be as good as it possibly can be. But and Alex Anthopoulos is on his way to Houston, and I really do hope that he talks to everybody and he says, look, this is what we would have had to give up to get this guy. This is what we would have had to give up to get this guy. And then the players will see and understand that, you know what, all right, well, maybe it's a good thing that that didn't happen. And I really hope that's the case.
But it's not just this trade deadline, right? This has been building up, you know, the entire offseason. And I think if you look at what happened with Santana and those rumors that came out and the union getting involved, and I mean, it's not unreasonable to think that they're maybe not in this case at this deadline, but over the past number of months, there have been Anthopoulos may have been hamstrung by some kind of ridiculous cap or, you know.
Well, I don't think it's ridiculous. Every team has a budget. But I do think, you know, we've been hearing for years that if the Blue Jays were in a spot late in the season where all they needed was money, then the money would be there. So it is reasonable to believe that things have changed on that end. But, I mean, they're still top 10 payroll in the major leagues, and they've still got a lot of money. I don't blame Rogers for not opening their wallets this winter. They raised the payroll $50 million the winter before, and the Blue Jays wound up finishing in last place. So I can definitely see them saying, all right, well, we're not going to give you any more money. But now that this is going on, some cash would be helpful. But again, I don't think a lack of cash stopped the Blue Jays from doing anything that they otherwise would have done today.
Well, I just think if we win 86 or 88 or even 89 games and miss the playoffs by, you know, that much, it's going to be really hard to swallow this winter.
Okay. All right. And you're, again, entitled to believe that. This team is in a playoff spot right now. There is indisputable. They're in a playoff spot right now. And they're getting Adam Lind and Edwin Encarnacion and Brett Laurie back in the next couple of weeks. And they're in a playoff spot while on pace to win 87 games. Albert Pujols with an RBI single. The Angels take a 1-0 lead in Baltimore in the top of the 13th inning. And there's two on and nobody out. And Baltimore making a pitching change. Blue Jays beat the Astros 6-5. And if the Angels hold on to win, the Jays will be just a game and a half out of first place in the East. Michael is in Toronto listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Michael, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I want to give big props to Alex Anthopoulos, both his smarts and his courage, right, in succumbing to the pressure to make a deal, any deal. I think for me, it's not so much the money. I believe Rogers Sportsnet would cough up the dough if a deal made sense, right, to improve this team and improve its assets.
Not Sportsnet. Sportsnet doesn't own the Blue Jays.
Rogers, right? I think the difference here was not the money. The problem here was not the money, but the fact that they had a choice to make between keeping this team competitive over the next 3 to 5 years every year, like the Yankees and the Red Sox are competitive every year, and giving up significant assets. And the only assets apparently people were really interested in at this point, really interested in, were Stroman and Sanchez. It makes a difference that these guys have come up to the Major League roster and shown an early ability to pitch to Major League hitters. I know it's a small sample size. I know we can't predict that they'll be, you know, aces or anything, but they can pitch beautifully to Major League pitching. We know that much. It's possible. So I'm very pleased that he made this team is obviously competitive this year, but with these guys potentially, even one of them, contributing at the Major League minimum next year in the rotation, with Dickey locked up, with Burley available, with Morrow possibly coming back, with J-Hop pitching very well, and he's a proven Major League pitcher, this team could be competitive for quite a while, and I'm very excited about that. So props to Alex, right, for having the guts to stand fast and do the smart thing.
Okay, and I don't know. Again, I don't know that it's guts. I'm always someone who's willing to trade prospects, pre-Major League prospects, for proven Major League talent. But look, he made his assessments. He knew what he thought he had, and so far it's worked out very, very well for Stroman and Sanchez, and hopefully it works out just as well for Daniel Norris. And down the road, Roberto Osuna and the Blue Jays have a devastating pitching rotation for a number of years. But yeah, it would have been easy to deal him. And probably a little bit tougher to hold on to him, but that is, in fact, what he did. And look, Sanchez, great tonight again. Stroman's been fantastic. So far, they're paying off. More of your phone calls coming up after we let the network go at the bottom of the hour. So if you're on hold, stay on hold, even though I'm going to say goodbye. That's just to the rest of the country, not to you guys who are on hold. If not, give me a call. Right now, let's listen in. Barry Davis from Sportsnet TV talked to the two-homer man, Nolan Reimold. Hit his first two home runs as a Blue Jay. The second one was a tiebreaker in the ninth inning. They got the Jays the 6-5 win over the Astros. Here's that conversation.
Nolan, baseball is a strange game, and it's about making the most of opportunities. You weren't in the original starting lineup. You probably found out soon before the game. How did that all go down for you?
Came out to stretch, and then I was told, you know, we were out here before BP, so it's funny how that works out sometimes, but just happy to be in the lineup and happy to contribute to a win.
Your first start since coming off the DL, how have you been feeling as far as trying to get yourself worked back in? Because you were in a nice little groove just before you got hurt.
Yeah, it felt good before that happened, and last night in the first at bat today, I was, you know, over anxious, you know, jumping a little bit, needed to just relax and see the ball more, so thankfully, I was able to do that, after that first at bat.
Listen, the Blue Jays didn't make any big trades here on the deadline day, but when you think about yourself, Danny Valencia, do you guys look at yourselves as, hey, you know what, we can be those guys that can help this team get to the next level and make it to the postseason?
Yeah, I think myself and Danny both have confidence that we're pretty decent players and we can help the team out. So going forward, that's what we're here to do, and hopefully it all works out.
You told me this is your first game at this ballpark, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy playing in it for the rest of the weekend. Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll see if Nolan Reimold is back in the starting lineup tomorrow against Colin McHugh. Again, the only reason that he was in the lineup tonight was that Colby Rasmus was late, and he was scratched, and Reimold was inserted in, and boy, that was a rather fortuitous move for your Toronto Blue Jays. Jays beat the Astros 6-5. They close out the month of July with 15 wins in 26 games, 10 games over 500, and maybe a game and a half out of the playoffs. We will let the network go at the bottom of the hour, but we will continue to Blue Jays talk it up on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Lean back, crack a cold one, and listen to the game. Sure, even if you are at work. This is Toronto Blue Jays baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
3-2.
We love it when you shop all over before you come.
It was a back and forth battle in Houston, but the Blue Jays came out on top. Jose Bautista tied it up in the top of the eighth with a sacrifice fly after hitting a home run in the first inning. And then in the ninth inning, it was Nolan Reimold playing the hero, only starting because Colby Rasmus was scratched for being late to the ballpark. Reimold belted Reimold belted his second home run of the ball game in the ninth to give the Blue Jays the win. Number two, the Blue Jays overcame a rough outing from Drew Hutchison and got the win in the opener of a four-game series in Houston. Hutchison gave up four runs on six hits over just three innings of work, but four relievers combined to give up just one unearned run the rest of the way, and the Blue Jays came back. They tied it up on a Deonner Navarro homer in the sixth, then tied it again on Jose Bautista's sacrifice fly in the eighth, and then in the ninth, Nolan Reimold's second homer of the ball game gave the Blue Jays the win. Promo in 3, 2, 1. The Blue Jays continue their series in Houston, opening up the month of August by looking for their seventh straight win. Jay Happ, the former Astro, gets the call for the Jays. He's up against Houston rookie righty Colin McHugh. Join Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and me, Mike Wilner, as we bring you all the play-by-play, starting with a pregame show at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for an 8:10 first pitch tonight on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is Jay Happ. You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Blue Jays win it 6-5 over the Houston Astros. Nolan Reimold breaks the tie in the ninth inning with his second home run of the ballgame to make a winner out of Aaron Sanchez, who threw a perfect seventh and eighth. Casey Jansen, a hitless ninth for the save. Jose Bautista with a home run, two RBIs. In the game, it is 1-0 Angels over Baltimore. Now two out in the top of the 13th inning, two on and two out for Howie Kendrick, who just struck out looking. So they're going to the bottom of the 13th. Angels up by one. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to keep the Blue Jays talk going. The series continues tomorrow. Jay Happ and Colin McHugh. We're on at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for an 8:10 first pitch, 7 o'clock for Blue Jays pregame extra. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry and Joe, Tom, Brandeo, and Bunkus, bye-bye.
Jays Talk with Mike Wilner should be called Blue Jays Talk with you, because it can't be Blue Jays Talk without you. Call in after the game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
There's a high fly ball deep right field. That's heading for the bleacher seats, and there she goes right into them. Home run, Deonner Navarro. And this game is tied 4-4 here in Houston.
4-4, 6-5 wound up the final. The Blue Jays on top. The Astros would score an unearned run in the bottom of the sixth. Jose Bautista dropping a fly ball by L.J. Hose, and the inning continued to allow Gregorio Petit to drive in a run with a ground ball. But Bautista made up for it with a game-tying sac fly in the eighth, and then Nolan Reimold hit his second home run of the season, of the game, and of the season, and of the game, and of the season, and of the game. And it broke the tie, and the Blue Jays beat the Houston Astros 6-5. The Baltimore Orioles are trailing the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim 1-0 in the bottom of the 13th. Houston Street is on to try to close it out. If he can, the Blue Jays would close to within a game and a half of first place in the American League East. I'm Mike Wilner. We are Blue Jays talking it up. Phone lines are open, but really there aren't any phone lines open, so you got to wait pick your time to call. Wait till somebody hangs up. Let's get right to it. Rick is in Markham. Rick, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. I'm not going to go as far as say I'm like mad that they didn't get anybody, but it would have been nice to see them get maybe a mid-tier starter, like a Jorge De La Rosa or maybe like an Ian Kennedy. I don't think those are two guys you would have had to break the bank for. And
we don't know because they didn't get traded.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and they were clearly available. So, I mean, either the Rockies and Diamondbacks were asking too much, or teams didn't like them.
Well, yeah, it's true as well. But there are, you know, a lot of those mid-tier starters on those bad teams in the NL and the AL that could have helped us. You know, like guys like Reimold came in. You know, just these little like dark horse pickups that would. You know, they came in, nothing huge, major, but they're helping the team out. And I think Hutchinson is struggling now. I don't think he's going to be able to help us really all that much down the stretch. It would have been nice to get like a veteran arm in here just to bolster the rotation. I think we need more rotation help than bullpen help. And I just think it would have been nice if they would have got someone like that. Hopefully they can get someone at the waiver deadline. Also, can you just explain how that waiver, non-waiver trade deadline works as well?
Sure. I have a feeling this is going to be the first of 32 times that I will do this between now and August 31st. But sure, absolutely. The way it works now that the non-waiver trade deadline has passed, is that in order to be traded, a player now has to get through what are called trade waivers. There's an or, but I'll get to that in a second. So you're going to hear a lot of stories and a lot of really, really big things will be made of nothing. You're going to hear in August, this guy's on waivers. Oh, my God, this guy's. Can you believe that guy's on waivers? I'll tell you right now, Mike Trout and Clayton Kershaw may be the only players in Major League Baseball who will not be going on waivers in the month of August. Everybody in the major leagues, 98% of the players in the major leagues, are going to go on waivers in the month of August because that just gives a team flexibility. Sometimes they'll push through eight guys at a time, try to sneak a guy through so they can be free to trade him. Now, those are recallable waivers. So if a player gets claimed on waivers and the team doesn't want to trade him, they just pull him back, no problem, but you can't run him through again. But in order to be traded, a player has to get through trade waivers, or he can be traded to the team that claims him on trade waivers. So that's the whole non-waiver deadline thing. You got it?
So essentially, if someone claims them, they have to give a package that the team likes.
No. Maybe. But let's say we're the Blue Jays, and everybody's on waivers, and somebody claims Colby Rasmus.
Okay.
So now I will call the team that claimed Colby and say, you want him? What are you going to give me for him? And you negotiate back and forth. And the Blue Jays have leverage because they say, look, I can just pull him back and you're not going to get him. So you got to give me something. Or at the end of the waiver period, the 3 days, like they did with Alex Rios a few years ago, they can just say, okay, take him. And he's gone. And he's claimed on waivers. That's how the Blue Jays got rid of Alex Rios. That's how the Yankees wound up with Jose Canseco that year. That's how Randy Myers wound up on San Diego back in 1998. The Blue Jays artfully got rid of him. So it can go any one of three ways. If a guy gets claimed on waivers, a team can trade him to that team. They can let him go for nothing to that team, or they can pull him back off of waivers.
Perfect. That clears it up.
All right. But watch, every day I'm going to get that question on this program. I don't know why this is such a confusing thing to a lot of people. You can figure out hockey minutiae. You should be able to figure out baseball minutiae too. Remember, don't be surprised when you hear the names of the people who are going on waivers this month. Because again, 98% of the players in the game are going to be placed on waivers. John Gibbons told the media that he played a hunch, and that's why Rasmus was scratched and why Reimold was in the starting lineup. Rasmus told the media that he just got caught up eating lunch with the family, got caught in traffic, and didn't make it to the ballpark on time, and he was taken out of the starting lineup, as he should be, which is what he said. As he should be. Two out, nobody on. Bottom of the 13th. Angels lead the Orioles 1-0, trying to avoid the sweep. Adam Jones is at the plate. Never gotten a hit in his life against Houston Street. Rob is in Aurora. You're up next on Blue Jays Talk. Go right ahead.
Mike, three guys I have a lot of time for, I was really disappointed in today. One was Jansen, two was Bautista, and three was Zahn. I don't have a problem with their disappointment. I get that they're veterans and they want to win, and I respect that a lot. But you don't air that grievance on public television. You go into Autopolis' office, and the next time you see him, you close the door, and you can yell and scream all you want. But why is there a double standard there that they have this code where they can't chew each other out as players in the media, but they can rip Alex Anthopoulos for doing his best but not getting it done. I mean, I understand their disappointment, but I don't get the double standard, and I really don't get Greg Zahn ripping into Anthopoulos and supporting those guys for what they said. I'm completely in their corner with the disappointment. I get that. And I wish he'd pulled the trigger if there was something there. But you can't say that the guys stand past. You can't say that he's not willing to make bold moves, because he has been ever since he took the job. So I'm with you. There just probably wasn't something there that he felt that he was comfortable with. I got a big problem with Zahn, Jansen, and Bautista saying what they said today.
All right, well, I'm not going to touch Zahn. He's very different. He's a broadcaster, not a player. So two totally different things. But Bautista and Jansen, look, this has been a frustrated clubhouse. This has been a group that has been dying for some additions when the Blue Jays were hemorrhaging before the All-Star break. And they saw some guys getting moved that they thought could help. They saw some guys that they had heard were available who they thought could help, and the Blue Jays not making any moves. Then you see like a Brad Mills for a Chad Jenkins thing, and you start scratching your head and wondering why that went on. So there's frustration in there, and that frustration boiled over, and it led to comments. And look, I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to rip an athlete for being honest, because that's what we want when we stick a microphone in their faces. And the more that, you know, questions are asked and we get the stupid cliche answers that we know they don't mean and they know they don't mean, but they just try to be as vanilla as possible so as not to get in trouble, that's no good for anybody. And the more players get ripped for being honest, the more they're going to say, all right, well, look what happened there. So
yeah, but you
I'm better off just shutting up and not saying anything.
No, I get you, Mike, and I want them to be entertaining, too, because at the end of the day, it's an entertainment.
I don't want them to be entertaining. I want them to be honest.
Well, they can still be honest, but they don't have to throw the GM under the bus. They can say, yes, I'm disappointed.
Well, that's all Jose Bautista said. And he said, I'm a little bit disappointed.
No. He used the word somehow. Somehow our competitors did it. Somehow. Like, he couldn't have been more clear in throwing Anthopoulos under the bus.
Well, at least you know that Anthopoulos isn't going to throw Bautista under the bus for dropping that fly ball in the eighth inning. What can I tell you? Players are entitled to voice their opinions, and I want them to. I don't want there to be any sort of chilling effect on guys, being afraid of reaction for being honest. Because then, like I said, you get nothing but 110%, play the game hard and play the right way and all that crap that nobody wants to listen to. Right? It's a no-win situation, unfortunately. I don't have a problem with anybody voicing their opinion. They wanted an addition, and they didn't get it. And it's not their job to see the forest for the trees. Angels beat the Orioles 1-0 in 13, so the Blue Jays are a game and a half out of first place in the American League East, three games up on the Seattle Mariners for the second wild card in the AL. This is Blue Jays Talk, taking it to midnight, and then we got all kinds of cool stuff on Sportsnet 590 The Fan after midnight. Do we not? It's Thursday. Thursday means cool stuff. UFC coming up at midnight, isn't it? Doesn't it have a name? UFC Central with Showdown Joe. That's cool. See, I told you, cool stuff coming up after midnight. Back to the phone. Steve is in Barrie. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I want to get to something that's not necessarily trade deadline talk, but a theme that has been talked about, and that's the payroll and whether they can increase or not. And specifically about, you can call him the most important player, but there's probably a cluster of three bats that are most important to this team, and Melky's right in there. And I'm just wondering, I'm hearing talk from guys from your station, like Bobcat and Jeff Blair, that, he's pretty much out of here. I just think they can do whatever they can to keep him. And I don't know if it would take 13 to 15 mil a year for like 4 or 5 years, but I would definitely consider doing that. Rasmus coming off next year, Bernie after that. So I hope they can find the money to keep this guy, because, like I said, I don't know if he's the most important bat, but he's right up there with Batista and Encarnacion. Batista, I'd say, is probably your most important, but he's definitely been the most consistent this year. And although he doesn't have a ton of power, he can hit the home run. And he's, I'd say, an above average, but not great left fielder. Average, if you want to go that low. But I just think he'd be worth it. I'm wondering what you think and what you think it would take to keep him here.
I don't know what it'll take, because all it takes is one owner to be silly and offer him 5 years and $90 million or whatever. And then that's it. It seems to be a great amount of concern for a lot of Blue Jays fans about whether or not Melky Cabrera comes back. And I think the best thing to do is just really table that and enjoy what's going on right now and get sucked up in the fact that the Blue Jays are in a pennant race and it's August, and worry about Melky Cabrera when it's time to worry about Melky Cabrera. I mean, it's been 21 years since there's been meaningful baseball in this town this late in a season with the Blue Jays in a playoff spot. I don't understand why so many people are so worried about whether Melky Cabrera comes back or not. I mean, I get he's having a great year, and I get he's going to be a free agent and all that stuff, but, you know, I think that's what a lot of Blue Jays fans have become, because it's been so long since they've been good.
For me, it's also, too, because they didn't do anything today, and I'm fine with it if you're kind of going to keep a nucleus around that's going to do something later on, and I think he's part of that. So for me, that's why it is. I get it. But I am definitely enjoying what's going on right now, and, you know, it looks, I don't know if it's official yet, but if we're 1.5 behind first right now, that's pretty awesome, and that'll be exciting to watch down the stretch for sure.
Yeah, it is official. The game's over. But yeah, and I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying it. But you know what, Melky Cabrera, there's really no way to say this without sounding bad. Melky Cabrera is not an irreplaceable player. He's a corner outfielder who hits for average. He's a below average defender with a good arm, not a ton of power. There are a few corner outfielders like Melky Cabrera. I'm not saying that there's a ready replacement waiting, but I'm also saying you don't blow your brains out to make sure you keep him. But he has done a wonderful job for the Blue Jays so far this season. We are going to Eli in New Jersey, listening on TuneIn Radio. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm actually very disappointed that the Blue Jays didn't pull off a move today. And I know you're going to say I'm just one of those, but...
Well, tell me what move you would have liked to have seen.
One second. I understand that they didn't want to part with Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez, even though we've only seen, you know, all of 7 innings or something like that from...
What could
Aaron
they have
Sanchez.
Gotten for Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez?
I'm not sure if Tampa or Boston was going to trade in the division, but forget about those two for now.
Okay, but I just want you to be dealing in the real world as opposed to just being angry because they didn't do anything.
No.
So that's why I asked you, who did you want them to get?
No, well, if it would have been a front-of-the-line rotation guy like a David Price, I would give up Stroman. I would give up Sanchez. I would give up Norris, whatever, Daniel Norris, what's his name?
Yeah, but that's not who Tampa was asking for. Tampa got major league players for David Price. And Oakland got major league players, an all-star.
One
for,
second,
for John Lester.
Smiley. Drew Smiley is supposed to be this big stud.
No, he's not supposed to be a big stud, but he's a guy who's got 2 solid years in the major leagues under his belt. Nick Franklin's a guy who's played a season in the major leagues.
Solid years under the belt for David Price.
No, but again, I don't know if you're intentionally not hearing what I'm saying or misunderstanding or what, but Tampa Bay wanted major league players off the Blue Jays roster for David Price. Now, that may be Stroman and Sanchez and Dowell Lugo or something like that. It may have been Drew Hutchinson and Brett Laurie and something else. I don't know what it was.
Drew Hutchinson and Brett Laurie for David Price?
Yeah, no, I don't think I would.
Okay, I'm surprised about it. But here's my next question.
Yeah.
Tommy Malone would have been a significant upgrade to the Blue Jays rotation, and they traded for Sandfold. The Blue Jays couldn't dig down and find themselves a Sandfold somewhere.
The Blue Jays have a Sandfold. I don't know that Tommy Malone is as much of a significant upgrade to the Blue Jays rotation as you think he is. Tommy Malone's a guy who has a high home run rate in a pitcher's park, who doesn't strike out a lot of guys. And those two things translated to Rogers Center in the American League East don't often work out that well.
And what about Andrew Miller? Who's this guy, Eduardo Rodriguez?
I'm confident that Andrew Miller would have cost the Blue Jays Daniel Norris.
Who's this Andrew Rodriguez?
Eduardo Rodriguez is the Orioles' third or fourth best pitching prospect. He's 21 years old. He's already in Double A. So for me, the equivalent to him is Daniel Norris. And I'm not trading Daniel Norris for 20
Prado.
Innings.
I mean, who's this guy, Peter O'Brien?
What do the Blue Jays do with Martin Prado? How does he improve the team significantly? Gone? That's not a good way to answer a question. Martin Prado does not improve the Blue Jays significantly. Asdrubal Cabrera does not improve the Blue Jays significantly. Steven Drew does not improve the Blue Jays significantly. So why would you trade an asset for them? Especially since you got to pay Prado $22 million over the next couple of years. Guy's got a 300 on base. Sam is in Hamilton. You're up next on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. Hey, the way things are going, I honestly expect $40,000 for that Oreo series, all three games.
That'd be pretty swell, huh?
Yeah, I know. But I want to talk about Kiesse Jansen. When people talk about Melky Cabrera and Colby Rasmus, well, if they go, I want to keep Jansen. You made a comment a couple months ago that he's an L.A. kid and, you know, Magic Johnson might sign him. But don't you think he's kind of loyal to the Blue Jays? That the Blue Jays, he would listen to the Blue Jays first but then instead of just bolting to L.A. and play for the Dodgers?
I love Kiesse Jansen. I think he is wonderful, both as a human being and as a baseball player. I'm a huge fan, and I have been since he came up here for the first time.
Wasn't he a pitcher? Like, or a starting pitcher?
He was a starting pitcher. I believe that Kiesse Jansen loves it in Toronto.
Yeah.
I also believe that if Kiesse Jansen gets a phone call from Magic Johnson, he is gone.
Well, it sucks because I thought Kiesse would be kind of loyal.
Well, you're only as loyal as a team is to you.
I know, but I just kind of feel that also if he leaves, like, we're going to boo him next time he comes back. Because isn't that the Toronto way? If you bolt and you're not loyal, we hate you.
I, you know what? I think it depends on what happens for the rest of this season, what happens in the playoffs if the Blue Jays wind up getting there. Guys are entitled to go play at home. You know, nobody begrudges it when the Maple Leafs sign guys who want to finish up at home. Why would I would hope that people wouldn't be that upset if Kiesse Jansen went to the Dodgers after
I'm not saying Kiesse Jansen's LeBron James and like it would have a whole cultural impact on the city if Kiesse was to go back to L.A. Like, I don't know. I just think Kiesse should stay. And also, just quickly, do you think we could have a shot at Papelbon? Because he hates Philadelphia and Philadelphia hates him. It was a signing from hell. He should have never gone to Philly. Do you think the Blue Jays should get him in August?
I just hate seeing that face he makes before he throws every pitch, to be honest with
you. I know, but he knows the East. He won a World Series in the East.
He did win a World Series in the East, and he, you know, he's going to make a crap load of money next year, and he's not far away, I don't think, from vesting the option for 2016. Yeah, he's really not far away from vesting that option in 2016. 21 games. Yes, he is. Pardon me, I read that wrong. So he's got a while to go. He's having a great year, and he could certainly help the Blue Jays.
I was going to suggest the Roldis Chapman, and I just read the Red Cloud back to 500, and they're not out of it.
Whether they were out of it or not, they're not trading Roldis Chapman. Jonathan Papelbon could help the Blue Jays. There's no question about that, and I'm sure he's someone that they'll be looking at if he makes it through waivers.
Yeah, just one more quickly question. I was listening to the radio station. How come Price gives you a pick, but Lester doesn't if he's walked?
Because Lester's a free agent at the end of this year, and Price is a free agent at the end of next year.
I know, but they're saying Lester.
You don't get a pick for a guy who's traded in his free agent year.
That's how it works?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering, like, why wouldn't Lester give you a pick, but Price would?
That's why.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Blue Jays beat the Astros 6-5. Going up to Thornhill. Adam, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead.
Mike, how are you? I hate to disagree with you, but
you're entitled.
I think that they could have made a move today, and I understand what you said about Asdrubal Cabrera and Martin Prado. The thing about it is that you didn't have to give up a Daniel Norris to get those guys.
No, and I never suggested that you did have to get a Daniel, give up a Daniel Norris to get
those
guys. So
an asset, I mean, Prado can play second, he can play third, he's hit 300 in the league before. He's got a little bit of pop, not a lot, but he's a 10 to 15 home run kind of guy. I believe he's batting 270 this year, and I'm pretty sure his OBP is like 326, which isn't great.
317. But
neither is anyone on Arizona.
Right, but who cares what? Why,
but he can help.
What guy? Can he? Is he a significant upgrade on what the Blue Jays have at second base right now?
I think it's.
I don't
even
think
with a little hot hitting streak lately.
Yeah, but no. Not with a little hot hitting streak.
No. What I'm saying, sorry. To be clear, I was trying to say is that even with the hot hitting streak, he's an upgrade to Ryan Goins, I think.
I don't think as an overall player he is. He's not nearly the defender Goins is.
What about
he
doesn't Chase Utley?
Chase Utley's got a no trade clause.
Well, he wasn't willing to waive that?
Well, I don't know if they even got that far down the road.
I was pretty sure he's a free agent, though, after this season, isn't he?
He's still got a no trade clause. Whether he's a free agent, he is a free agent at the end of the year, I believe. No, he signed for next year.
I will say that I do love the Danny Valencia move. I've been a fan of this guy for a long time. He was starting in Minnesota a couple years ago, and I thought that he has a lot of good tools. And I think he could be a big surprise down the road if he gets regular playing time with this club. I really do. So I love that move. But
that rookie year is the only year he's been able to hit right-handers. I love him as a lefty crusher. I don't think he's getting regular playing time, and nor should he. Because when the Blue Jays are healthy, he only plays against lefties.
Okay, I have one more quick question for you.
Yeah.
A few years ago when we got Bautista, he was sort of an obscure guy. And I know that the story with Encarnacion that he was a throw-in and all that stuff. And
he wasn't a throw-in. He was a you got to take this guy so we don't have to pay him.
Right. But they've turned those two guys through Gaston and Murphy and working with them. They've turned those guys from talented, obscure players to superstars. I'm wondering how does that – I know that can't happen with everybody, obviously, but what's the process? Is there guys that they can look at like a Danny Valencia and say, hey, do you want to go to winter ball? We think we can help you, you know, get over that hump of being able to hit righties, or an Adam Lind. We think we can work you into learning how to hit lefties a little bit better.
No,
and turn you into.
I honestly don't think that such a thing exists. I think that Bautista and Encarnacion were both very, very good players who never got an opportunity, finally did get that opportunity and blossomed. And I know Bautista gives Cito Gaston and Dwayne Murphy a lot of credit. Neither of those guys are magicians. They couldn't turn Jose Bautista into one of the best hitters in the league if he wasn't an extraordinary talent. Same thing with Edwin. This stuff like Bautista and Encarnacion almost never happens, and there really is no process. I mean, if there was, everybody would be hitting 40 home runs a year. And Edwin had a very, very good year in Cincinnati before he hurt his wrist a couple of years before he got traded to the Blue Jays. So he had this in him too. But a lot of times it's just a matter of opportunity. One more call, Mark in Toronto. Mark, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, go ahead.
Wondering, in a hypothetical world, whether we're home or away in a wild card playoff game, who in the Blue Jays starting pitching rotation do you want to see on the mound to win us that game and push us into the playoffs?
Whoever's turn it is? Yeah, I mean it's a wild card game. If it gets to that point, and I know that's not the answer that you want, but if it gets to the point where the Blue Jays are playing as a wild card team, the odds that they're going to be able to set their rotation is minimal. So chances are it's going to be a choice of like two guys because the season will end on a Sunday. The wild card game will be on a Tuesday, so there'll be two different people whose day it could be. And it's going to be a choice of one of those two. Right now, the obvious answer is Marcus Stroman because he's pitching exceedingly well. But I don't mind giving the ball to R.A. Dickey. I don't mind giving the ball to Mark Burley. let's see what happens with Hutchison and Happ the rest of the way and see if the Blue Jays make any adjustments to the rotation. But you would want it to be one of those three guys, but might not be able to be. Chances are it's whoever's turn comes up. But let's not think wild card. The Blue Jays are a game and a half out of first place on August 1st. It's going to be August 1st in 25 seconds. They finished July 15-11. They beat the Houston Astros 6-5 tonight. Tomorrow, the series continues. We're on with Blue Jays pregame extra at 7. Full network pregame at 7:30 and 8:10. First pitch, Jay Happ against Colin McHugh. And I'll be hosting Baseball Central at noon tomorrow with Kevin Barker. We'll have John Gibbons and Danny Valencia on the program. See you tomorrow.